This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind a book. My name is Patsy Gill, coming to you from WTAN 1340, Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio, in beautiful Clearwater, Florida. And it is beautiful today. The weather's cooled down, and it's just a perfect day. I just wanted to remind you that on October 24th, we have the Tampa Bay Festival of Reading coming up. On the 20th, the Tuesday before the festival, I'm going to have Colette Bancroft from the Tampa Bay Times on my program, and she's going to talk about all of the wonderful writers that they have gotten for this event. One, of course, the most famous one is probably Judy Blum, who's famous for her Fudge series and also for some of her more controversial books that she wrote after she finished with Fudge. Now, Judy tells everyone that this is her last book tour, so it is an opportunity for you to come out and meet her and get her autograph and get a selfie, as everybody does nowadays. All the writers have to get used to posing for selfies. One writer was telling me in the old days she didn't have to worry about her makeup and her hair so much, but now she has to have a hairdresser come to her room before she attends one of these things, because everybody wants selfies nowadays. But it's a wonderful opportunity, and make sure that you mark your calendars. It's free for readers, and it's from 10 to 4 at the University of South Florida, which is located in downtown St. Petersburg, so it's really convenient, and it's going to be lots of fun. You get a little free gifts and bookmarks and giveaways and pens and all sorts of things, and of course you get the opportunity to meet with the writers, and there are going to be, I think, almost 60 of them this year. I'm going to have one of the writers, Deborah Johnson, on my program on October 13th to talk about her book, The Secret of Magic. And this is I am a sort of a sucker for any book where somebody gets a mysterious letter and then they follow it through, or they find a mysterious letter. And this is what happens in The Secret of Magic. Deborah Johnson is a really fantastic writer, and she has woven a wonderful story based on a young woman who's working for Thurgood Marshall, and comes across a letter, and that sort of takes her back into a mystery and an exciting, thrilling kind of story set in post-World War II in the South. And it's a book that I really enjoyed reading, and I'm looking forward to talking to Deborah Johnson on October 13th. Now, today in the studio I have with me someone who's written a book that I have really enjoyed, and it's called Lily of Peru, and it's written by David C. Edmonds. Hi, David. It's nice that you could join me today.
Well, thank you, Patsy. It's a pleasure to be here. I've heard many good things about you and your program from other authors, so thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's my pleasure. I was looking at your background, and there's just so much to say about you, but I just want to say one thing. I don't usually read other people's reviews of a book, but in this case, I will read one very short review of your book, Lily of Peru. And it's from Diane Capri, who is a New York Times bestselling author. And she writes, Lilia Peru is a powerful love thriller in the tradition of Ernest Hemingway's A Farewell to Arms and Ken Follett's Lie Down with the Lions. And I really like that review because it really catches exactly what I felt when I read the book. And so I'm thrilled that we'll be able to talk about it. Of course, you know, it is set, you were a Marine. Oh, you are a Marine because you are, one is always a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And then you joined the Peace Corps. And the character in the book, Lilia Peru, is a former Peace Corps worker in Peru. So first, before we get to the book, let's hear a little bit about how a Marine became a Peace Corps worker. It's not a normal next step for most Marines.
It is a bit unusual. I was in the Marines when I was very young. This was at a time when people either were drafted or had to enlist on their own. And I was not a good candidate for college at the time, fresh out of high school, so I joined the Marines. And I did most of, unlike some of my fellow Marines who had some pretty bad assignments, I was lucky. I was on embassy duty for 3 years in Norway for the most part. So that got me into the international sphere of things. And then when I came back, I went to the university, I graduated and studied international, everything international. I studied Spanish. Things were not progressing well after I got out of college. We were in the midst of a small recession. I was having difficulty finding employment. And then someone said, David, have you thought about joining the Peace Corps? And I says, well, yeah, I would like to think about it. So I filled out the papers, and next thing I know, I was training in Puerto Rico, and then I went to Chile for 2 years, where I was with a group of Mapuche Indians in the southern part of the country, and that was something of an experience by itself. I could write a book just about that.
So Lilia Peru, which is, of course, your main character. Tell us about your main character, Marcus, who himself is a sort of a mild-mannered university professor, which, of course, you were, because, by the way, I have to tell everyone that you're also a senior Fulbright professor of economics. So I can see that Marcus is based on some of your academic background. Tell us about Marcus, and how did you come out with this character, and send him back to Peru?
Well, as you mentioned, I was a Fulbright professor, and in addition, I did my doctoral work in Peru and spent a lot of time there, met a lot of really interesting people. Peru is a fascinating country. I was a professor at LSU, and at the same time, I did contract work for the Agency for International Development. In the summertime, I would go to Peru or Mexico or Nicaragua or some other country. And so during all of this time, I had the idea for a book in my mind about my experiences in Peru, and little by little it came to fruition in the early 90s. And I started this book a long time ago and didn't go back to it until very recently, when my wife suggested I get it off the computer and do something about it.
Well, that was a good suggestion. So tell us, Marcus, who is a professor and goes back to Peru to look for his long-lost love?
Correct. And I can tell you, excuse me, I can tell you a little bit about the background of that. When I was in the Peace Corps in Chile, in this miserable little village way down in the south, which is roughly as far south as the Canadian border is north, Peace Corps doesn't put people in very healthy positions or locations, and I was ill a lot of the time and spent time in hospitals in Santiago. And while I was there, I met a very lovely Peruvian exchange student, And we were together for a few weeks, and then I was back in my miserable little village, and she was back in Peru. But I thought a lot about her, and I had nothing to do for the most part. It was cold, it was snowing, miserable, so I read a lot of romance novels. And I kind of got the
idea. Not the normal reading for a Marine, but what the
heck? Well,
what the heck? When you have nothing else.
I got a lot softer after I got out of the Marines and became a professor and a Peace Corps volunteer. But anyhow, I had the idea for writing a novel. Boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love, and then things intervene, as they often do, as they always do. So I had this idea for a novel, and I called it Lily of Peru. And believe it or not, this was back in the 1960s. And nothing came of it, but I still had it in the back of my mind for many, many years.
And, you know, this book, I love books that have action. And this book has, this book is nonstop action. And it's so exciting because the love interest in the book, her name is Marissa. And, of course, we don't know what she's been up to. The part of the mystery, of course, is what she's been up to in these intervening years. And so it's exciting. And there you go from one situation to another. And this is set in what year in Peru? It is during a very tumultuous time.
This is set in the early 1990s in Peru. I spent some time there and a lot of the Shining Path was a terrorist organization, and they were on the verge of taking over the country in the early 1990s. And the government was just as brutal as the Shining Path. There's considerable, horrible things happened on both sides, atrocities. And for a while, it looked like the Shining Path was going to win. Embassies were evacuating. We were evacuating our embassy. I was there for a short while. And some interesting things happened that brought back the thought of Lily of Peru. One of the things was that some Americans came down and joined the Shining Path and joined another terrorist organization. And one of them, you may have heard the name, is Lori Berenson. Lori came from a very prominent New York family. And she disappeared in Peru. She went there supposedly as a journalist to write about the war. She disappeared. Her family said she was kidnapped. The government says no, she wasn't kidnapped. She went over to the dark side with a terrorist. And I was involved in a very small way in a search for her. And a lot of that figured into my writing of Lily of Peru.
Well, one of the wonderful things about reading, you can read about all sorts of countries, and you can learn the history of the country. You learn what the country is about, and particularly in this case, when it was such a dangerous time in Peru, you make it an exciting time. You can almost smell the gunpowder, and you feel the tension in the air as bombs were going off and all sorts of terrorist activity was going off. And of course, everybody, as you said, the government officials were as bad as, in many cases, as the terrorists, and you didn't know who to trust and what to trust. And so you really have crafted an exciting story.
Well, most of the events that I described in Lily of Peru actually occurred, not in the context of the plot. What I did was take the story of a professor looking for his love who has disappeared, and I superimposed that plot over many of the things that actually occurred, a few of them that I was involved in, and I was involved or people I knew were involved, or I knew all about what happened, so that gave me a lot of material for writing Lily of Peru. Even the first chapter has a lot of authenticity when Marcus is in the hotel, a general shows up, and I can, if you want, I can tell you a little bit about the background of
yes,
that.
Yes, tell us.
I was, as I mentioned, working with the Agency for International Development, which is the foreign aid arm of the United States government, and we periodically sent out people to give talks to different organizations, and the University of San Marcos, which is located in the middle of Lima, invited someone over to talk about foreign aid, and it was kind of crazy because we were right in the middle of a war with bombs going off. You could hear gunshots, and I was asked to do it because I spoke Spanish, and I went to the university, and usually I'm very well received. Professors in Latin America are very highly respected among students, and I expected to get a fairly good reception, but I did not get a good reception because the students didn't want to hear about foreign aid from the United States. They wanted to talk about the war and why the United States was supporting a corrupt dictatorship like Fujimori. And right in the middle of my lecture, some students stood up and said, "Why are you Americans supporting Fujimori when you should be, more of you should be like Lori Berenson, who fights for justice?" So I cut my meeting short. As I was leaving, a young woman came over and took me by the arm and said, "Can we talk?" And anytime someone does that to you in Peru, that's pretty serious. So I says, "Yeah, we'll so we sat down underneath an arbor on a bench, and she was looking around, and I was nervous because Americans, especially if you were associated with the embassy, were targets for assassination or kidnapping. I did have a bodyguard with me who was standing off to the side looking around quite nervous. And finally she got to the point. She said, "I know where Lori Berenson is, and she would like to send a message to her parents. Can you take the message?" And I was a bit flabbergasted, but I said, "Sure, I'd be happy to, but I need information." And she said, "Well, she wants her parents to know that she's well." And I said, "That's fine, but how will I know that? Because I need something more substantive, like maybe a recording or photographs or something." And she said, "Well, I'll provide it for you." So we set up a meeting for another time, and I gave her my contact numbers, and she got in touch with me a few days later. And
so that is why I can tell you your book is so authentic. It's so exciting. I need to take a short break, and when I come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about where you got the title Lily of Peru.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
There's only one place on the radio where golfers like you can turn for the best tips, interviews, product reviews, local tournaments, and everything golf talk. The Golf Show, guys.
Hey, join the Golf Show, guys, every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's not just funny, it's informative, it's celebrities, and it's a lot of applause. It's the Golf Show, guys, Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing, our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a million-dollar view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
Lightning fans, there's no better time to reserve your 2015-16 season tickets than now. Season ticket members get the best seats, the best discounts, playoff priority, exclusive player access, and more. Reserve your 2015-16 season tickets by calling 813-301-6600 or visit TampaBayLightning.com. The Tampa Bay Lightning. Be the Thunder.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with David Edmonds, author of Lily of Peru. And we were just talking about one of his adventures that he had, and I think it shows how deeply he was involved in Peru, was about Lori Berenson.
Yes. I was mentioning that these people got in touch with me and said they knew where Lori was, asked me to send a message, and we set up a meeting a few days after the initial contact, and it was in a Lima cafe, and I thought they were going to bring me some good information. Instead, it was just the woman who had approached me initially with some guy who was looked like kind of a Che Guevara lookalike with a beret, and they kept looking around, and I kept looking around, and I again I had my bodyguard standing close by, and we were worried about it, and I saw it was going nowhere, so I cut it off. I says, "No, this nothing is happening here, so I'm out of here," and I said, "If you are serious about this, here's my number, get in touch with me." Well, a few days later, they got in touch with me again and says, asked me to set up, go check into a room in a big hotel in the middle of Lima on the fifth floor, and that someone would show up there with information about Lori Berenson. So I did. I went there, and again, we had another room down the hall where I had some pretty bad guys from the embassy who were as my backup, and we had some firepower in my room hidden. And I kept thinking, actually hoping, that Lori Berenson herself would show up in the room. I had a camera, and I was hoping I would be able to interview her. And it was a terrible day. There was fog. The fog was very bad. There was a demonstration going on in the plaza beneath us. The power went out. Could barely see. I threw back the curtains. The phone kept ringing. I would answer it. No one would be there. And finally came the knock at the door. And that was the first chapter in my, or second chapter, really, in Lily of Peru. And it turned out it was not anyone with the information I wanted. It was a Peruvian general along with an agent of the Peruvian government, PIP, Peruvian Investigatory Police. And they thought that I had information about Lori Berenson and that they wanted me to provide them. And I said, no, I don't know anything about. And they threatened me if I didn't provide the information. And this was just a very bad situation. But I turned that into my first couple of chapters in the book.
Well, it worked out very nicely that you had that adventure, because it makes the book all the more exciting for that adventure of yours. Of course, we see how you pull things in. When you were a Marine, you were in Norway, and of course your character, Marcus, is Norwegian. And there are many scenes in the book I love, but I love the scene where he's Norwegian, using his sort of minimal Norwegian to pretend to be Danish. And that's one of the funniest scenes in the book. I was laughing so hard and also scared. So it was a nice way to... Are you Norwegian? Is your background Norwegian?
No, my background is not Norwegian, but I spent almost 3 years in Norway, and I did learn to speak a little bit of Norwegian while I was there. And so I thought it would be a nice touch to incorporate that in the book.
It worked out beautifully, because as you said, it was difficult to travel in Peru, and for an American, now, of course, Marcus is American from Florida, professor, and pretending to be Danish had its possibilities, to say the least.
He managed to get himself in a lot of trouble because he refuses to cooperate with the local police. They're looking for Marissa, his love, and they say that she's going over to the Shining Path, and they're looking for, and he refuses to cooperate, and pretty soon he becomes a fugitive because they think he has thrown in with the Shining Path as well, and that he knows something about where the location of the terrorist leader, this fellow called Comrade or Chairman Gonzalo, who is a real character, incidentally.
And of course, in between, and this is, this is true in life, but this is also particularly true in all of these countries, there's always a mix of the CIA, the DEA, and heaven knows who else in there. And so it really, and half the time you don't know who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. And and of course, as I said in the beginning, I'm always a sucker for a letter, a mysterious letter, which of course is what brings what brings Marcus from Florida in the first place to Peru. And so you've woven a beautiful mystery there about whether Marissa is a good girl or a bad girl, or we don't know until we may never know. But it's really how you've written the story, and you brought in her sister, which was excellent.
Her cousin.
Her cousin. Yeah, actually, Sonia, I'm sorry, her cousin. Yeah, Sonia.
That created a lot of problems for him as well, and he thought that Marissa had gone back to her husband. He wasn't sure about it, but she had left him with the impression that she had to go back to her husband. And in the meantime, Sonia, her cousin, kept him hidden out, and then they began to get she showed a little bit of romantic interest in him, and that created some difficulties for him.
Well, of course, a lot of the book is centered around the title Lily of Peru, and explain that.
Well, as you know, Lily of Peruvian lilies. There are Peruvian lilies grow wild. It is a name of a flower. And Pablo Neruda occasionally uses it in his 20 love stories or 20 love poems. And when I met the Peruvian woman that I mentioned earlier when I was in the Peace Corps, and she told me all about Peru. I'd never been to Peru at the time, but I was fascinated. She told me about Pisco Sour and haunted Inca ruins and Peruvian lilies, Lirios del Perú. And so I just thought it would be a very nice title for a book, and that's where it came from.
Well, it's great, and of course the poetry of Neruda, the great love. Some people think he's probably one of the top three poets writing about love, and certainly you've woven some of his magic into your book. So
yeah, Pablo Neruda was certainly my favorite poet. I had the opportunity to attend a poetry reading when I was at the Peace Corps by Pablo Neruda, and afterward even got to shake his hand. I didn't wash my hand for a week afterward. I was so impressed. And we went there recently with my wife, and we visited his house and a couple of other places. There's a Pablo Neruda Museum in Santiago now. So he's just one of my, I just love his poetry. I could sit and read it all day long.
I know. For people who haven't ever tried, they really should read Neruda. It opens your eyes in so many ways. And I was fascinated. A few months ago, I spoke to the new poet laureate of the United States, Juan Felipe Herrera. And of course, so much of his poetry and his inspiration to write poetry came from Neruda. And unless you, you know, have if you haven't run across it and you haven't had the opportunity, it's something to people should really pick it up. It's in many ways it's a very masculine poetry. You know, men relate to this poetry very much, and I think it's a very very good reading for people. So I do recommend it. I love poetry, but you know, not everyone is interested in it, but I think Neruda crosses a line, because men can read it and find something of inspiration to romance a woman, and it gets to a woman, I can tell you. So it's
well, I like how you say he's a masculine poet. I think he wrote a lot of his love poetry when he was a young man, and he was fascinated by women, and he had many loves in his life, as anyone knows who has ever studied him or read his poetry. It's so obvious in his poetry. Yeah. And a lot of people condemn him because he was a communist and went to Russia for a while, but who cares about that? All I care about is the poetry. It's so beautiful.
Boris Pasternak was in Russia in that at one point, you know, it's the same thing, you know. So
exactly.
you have to sometimes you have to look beyond that. I'm going to take another quick break, and then when I come back, I want to talk about how it's never too late to start writing.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for the perfect gift? Going to a wedding? A special birthday? The Silver Queen is the place to go. Don't settle for the ordinary. At the Silver Queen, you will find a unique gift. Things that you won't find at the mall. From beautiful photo frames to silver and china. Guys, looking for that perfect ring? You'll find it at the Silver Queen. And don't forget their bridal registry. Located at 1350 West Bay Drive in Largo. Visit their website, silverqueen.com. They have some wonderful coupons. And when you go to the store, tell them that Patsy with a Z sent you.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-7000. 9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Tuesday on the Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network show, Lions at Seahawks, the Monday Night Football recap. The Astros and Yankees open up the MLB playoffs with a one-game AL wild card. It's Dallas Keuchel versus Masahiro Tanaka. Who will advance to Kansas City? Jameis Winston leads the NFL in interceptions. Tampa Tribune's Roy Cummings will be with us. How do the Bucks right the ship? Catch all the Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network show action afternoons 2 to 4 on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's go bowling show, gobowlingshow.com.
Arg, matey. When it's time for lunch, when it's time for dinner, when the show's over, when the day's over, when it's time to chill, where do we go? Over to Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub. It's literally in our backyard, right in back of the WTAN studios at 700 Eldridge Street, just north of downtown Clearwater. Just look for the broadcast tower. Nancy's food and atmosphere get rave reviews. The laid-back patio is a great place to hang out, dine, and listen to live music at night. And Nancy's one of the friendliest proprietors in town. And now, Nancy is serving Sunday Jazz Brunch from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Brunch served with Eggs Benedict, crepes, waffles, lox and bagels, shrimp, oysters, and a build-your-own omelet. That's all at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack and Crow's Nest Pub, 700 Eldridge Street in Clearwater. That's right where Eldridge crosses the Pinellas Trail between Myrtle and Fort Harrison. Call 446-3717. 446-3717. You're listening to the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I'm back with David Edmonds, the author of Lily of Peru, which came out in, what was the release date?
In 2015.
This year. A few months ago?
In January.
January. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, but you had the idea for this book a long time ago, like back in the 60s. So how finally did you settle down and you sat down and wrote the book?
Well, I wrote an early draft probably in at that time in the mid-60s or so, but it was just a kind of a sketchy outline. And then I'm from Louisiana. I went back to Louisiana, as I mentioned, professor of economics, and I became interested in Louisiana history because of I own an old house that was used as a hospital during the Civil War, and I wrote about that, wrote about Civil War campaigns in Louisiana. They did very well, and that got me away from Lily of Peru. But then during summer times, I would work for the federal government. I made many trips to Peru, and I kept thinking, I have got to go back to Lily of Peru one of these days. And I even thought about getting in touch with my old girlfriend and tried.
I don't know if your wife would like that. Okay.
I did try to call her, but it turned out that her husband was in trouble with the law. He was a bomb throwing something, and they were in hiding, and that added something to the book. I thought, wow,
now
I'm really onto something. And so I wrote a number of other books that did very well. They were published mainly by university presses in Louisiana. And then I thought, I really want to do Lily of Peru. So I thought it would be an easy transition to write fiction from nonfiction.
Not
at all. I was so I took creative writing courses. My first creative writing course was with Ernest Gaines, and Ernest Gaines is just a wonderful Louisiana writer. He's the author of A Gathering of Old Men's and the autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman. And then I started reading every how-to book. I took a lot more creative writing classes, and little by little I began to understand about plot, that there are conventions and fiction that you don't have in nonfiction. For example, it's got to be a character with whose life has been turned upside down by something or other, and he has a burning desire to resolve that issue, but he cannot resolve it because of complications. And I just followed that thought with Lilia Peru, which kind of fit the way that it really happened. And it wasn't until maybe 2010 or so that my wife encouraged me to finish the book, which I did, and sent it to an agent. And the agent says, yes, he loved it, and he would love to represent me. And he sent it to a number of publishers, and they says, yes, we like this, but if it's a thriller, it needs some more action in it. And you mentioned action earlier. I says, you want action? I will give you action.
Boy, did you listen to that one?
I filled it with a lot of action. And then when I was ready to send it back to him, a friend of mine told me about Peace Corps also published books by a former Peace Corps volunteers, and that seemed like such a much easier path. So I took that route.
And they've published it. And I tell you, you learned your craft. You know, writing is a lot of inspiration, which you had, and a lot of craft. And when I read that in the beginning of the program where they compared you to Hemingway, you have learned the beauty of being clear, concise, and it works beautifully in this book.
Well, there are James Michener wrote a book called Caravans, which you may be familiar with.
Oh, yes.
And Ken Follett did the one Lie Down with Lions, and that was kind of the pattern that I followed, because my experience in Peru were similar to that of someone looking for a person, not being able to find the person because of complications. And that was what Caravans was about. And Follett's Lie Down with Lions was the same thing. The setting was in Afghanistan, and he was trying to get his love out of the country, and terrorists all around, and I followed that pretty closely. That was kind of my inspiration for doing it.
Well, but you've made it very, in many ways, very personal. You've really brought your characters to life, and I think it's a terrific read, and I hope that it gets wider publicity, because as I should mention that it's won the International Latino Book Awards. Award-winning author, and you've won a couple other awards with this book right now?
It did. The Reader's Favorite has awarded a silver medal for fiction. And in addition, it's a finalist for the Royal Palms Literary Award of the Florida Writers Association. And their award ceremony will be later this month, and I'm going there with my fingers crossed, and perhaps, who knows?
Well, I think it, you know, I hope it wins, because I think it's a great book, and no one will be disappointed when they read this book. You move the book along so beautifully, and the characters are so well developed, so how did you write? Did you use what program did you use when you were writing this book?
I just used Basic Word.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there are better programs that you should probably think about.
That's better than my first book, which I did by hand.
Okay, well, yeah, you don't want to go that way. But although someone was telling me, just recently somebody said they wrote their whole book out by hand first. I thought, oh my gosh, I couldn't do that. There's no way I could do it.
I can't do it now. No.
Well, no, it's. Can you imagine Tolstoy? Well, actually, you know, I mean, really, when you think about Tolstoy writing that, his books out by hand, and then of course his wife having to copy them out again by hand and do correct all his spelling mistakes in Russian. So that must have been fun for her. So the years of it when you think of that. So we are very lucky that we have Word, and of course there are, as I said, there are some easier programs to use nowadays that help you keep things organized.
Well, you're going to have to share those with me.
I'm going to have a program one day just about the different programs that will help writers, because of course you did quite a bit of research here, and so you needed.
I did a lot of research. Absolutely, I always do. I want to make sure that everything in the book is authentic. In fact, most of the events that I described in the book were actually occurred. Not in some cases I was there, and other cases other people were there. But the setting is authentic.
I highly recommend that anyone who plans to go to Peru, and today it's safe to go to Peru.
Oh, it's very safe.
It's very
today.
Safe, and it's a great place to go. And but to read this book before you go will really put you in the spirit of things. And as I said, your descriptions of the roads and the traveling and all that are so authentic and so compelling that it's a wonderful thing. So I hope that anyone who's planning a trip to Peru, I would love to go myself. My husband's been, but I haven't been, and I would just love to go. So it is a beautiful country.
It is one of the most fascinating countries in the world. I mean, acre ruins and beautiful mountains and cities and jungle. I mean, it's just some of the most incredible jungle in the world.
Like Machu Picchu?
Machu Picchu. Right,
and, you know, I loved recently seeing a story about Machu Picchu and how they built the roads. And then and they built him like in, I don't know, 6 years or something like that, and you go to Machu Picchu, and it's like a difficult place to be building roads. And then I look here in our own area here in Largo, Clearwater, Florida, and some of the areas around here. These roads they've been working on these roads for 10 years, and they're still not done. And I keep, you know, every time I get stuck in traffic, I want to pick these workers up and say, here's a ticket to Machu Picchu. Go and learn how to build a road and get it over with already. You know, we have a major road here called Ulmerton. And they've been building Ulmerton, well, I think it must be 13 years now. And it's never ending. It never gets done.
It doesn't. I mean, I remember when I was a very young man thinking, one of these days these roads will be finished, and they're never finished.
They're never finished. And so really, I'm one of these days, that's what we'll do. We'll just take all of these guys, put them on a plane, send them to Machu Picchu. Maybe they'll learn how it was done in the old days and get these roads done here. So you know, David, it's been great to have you here in the studio visiting with me, and I'm so hopeful that you will win another prize and get this book out to more places. It is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online.
It is.
And both paperback and Kindle, and so that's a wonderful thing about being able to have these books, you know, out there and easy to access. So. And are you appearing anywhere in the future?
Well, at least once a week I have some place that I appear. I think my next one is going to be at the East Lake Library on, if I'm not mistaken, the 27th of October, where I'll be giving a talk.
And where's that?
East Lake Library on East Lake Drive in Palm Harbor.
In Palm Harbor.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you can, get out there and meet David and get his book. And if not, go online. And do you have a website?
I do. It's dedmonds.com.
Okay, dedmonds.com. And you can read more about David, about his work, and order his book. And really, you know, get into it and have some fun with it.
Thank you, Patsy. This has been very enjoyable.
I've enjoyed having you here. So now I just want to remind everyone that on October 27th, I will be interviewing New York Times number one best-selling author Robin Cook. Of course, he's a master of medical thrillers. I don't know if you like medical thrillers, David, but I still remember when I read Coma, and it gave me the shivers. And did you read the Coma?
I did. I love Robin Cook. I didn't even know he was still around because I read a lot of his books.
Well, he is not only is he around, he's going to be on my program.
Well, so. I just might come and sit in here and try to get his autograph.
He's so wonderful, and he, you know, of course, he started this whole medical thriller. He broke the ground on it, and you know, he. But there's more to Robin Cook's writing than just writing a story, because he has always a goal, and he writes not only to entertain, but he also wants to warn the public about very real medical issues and medical issues that are looming out there. And so his new explosive, it's going to be an explosive thriller, is called Host, and it takes readers back to sort of where the whole genre began with his breakthrough, you know, novel Coma, and it's a disturbing. they sent me a you know, pre-release copy, and I mean, it's disturbing in that wonderful way of a thriller that really grips you, and it's a cliffhanger with you know, lots of tension in the plots, and it involves innocent hospital patients, which whenever you are in the hospital and you feel like, I'm an innocent hospital patient, please don't use me. And in this case, in Host, Robin Cook talks about how they are using these innocent patients as incubators or hosts against their will. And of course, there's always some financial gain and some bad guys in there, which you know, it you know, you have to have. And but it, believe me, all drug companies are not bad. But in this case, I'm sure there must be a bad drug company somewhere in there. So do listen in and on the 27th, because it's going to be a fun interview. I'm something I've really been looking forward to. So this is Patsy with a Z. And wishing you a great week, and remember that one of the joys in life is seeing your words on paper or to hear them spoken. And here, David was here today to tell you that he wasn't a young man when he started writing Lilia Peru. Well, he was a young man when he started writing, but not when he finished. And but you can do it too. So if you have an idea for a book and you've been keeping it hidden there in a drawer, pull it out and start writing and get that book published. So have a great week, and join me next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for Joy on Paper. Meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it, and have a great week. Bye-bye.